And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba and the Bloom, episode 191. Hope you all had a happy Thanksgiving, had fun with your family and friends, and you're listening to us on a Friday while someone else is using your credit card to buy a bunch of cool Christmas gifts, and you're realizing, I need to win money playing fantasy baseball. But we'll get to some details, and we'll talk some Steamer and more, but first, you can find me on Twitter, at BDintric, the podcast, at Bubba Bloom Pod, on Patreon, at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. And my co-host, as always, on the Twitter, at RyanBHQ. Ryan Bloomfield, how are we doing, my friend?
See, you're going to have to start adjusting your intro.
Threw me for a loop, dude. It really did.
On Twitter, on the Patreon, on the Discord, on the Blue Sky email. The Bubba Bloom email. BubbaBloomPod@gmail.com, by the way. You've got a hard job. I'm glad we... glad we pay you a lot for it.
Yeah. There you go. Get the big bucks on that one. So at least someone acknowledges it. It's only taken decades, at least a decade of recording shows for someone to realize it.
Even if it's just me. But
yes, I appreciate it.
But yeah. No, I hope everyone had a good Thanksgiving. It was filled with good food, no family fights, no family feuds, and plenty of baseball forecaster PDF, because that came out on Wednesday to anyone that had an annual renewal order. So hope you all are enjoying pouring through that as a hopeful distraction to certain family members and whatnot on Thanksgiving. That's a yearly tradition for sure.
Well, let's just have some fun real quick. Now that you mentioned the forecaster, we'll mix things up here with a listener question for you involving the forecaster. Kevin A. in the Discord asks, how do you use your forecaster? Do you read cover to cover, specific searches in the PDF format that you use? I recommend searching the PDF format and then searching the author if you do that, to make sure you don't miss, say, like Brandon Drury's, you know, author, stuff like that. But that is the search function is very convenient on the PDF. I'll mention that. But Ryan, you are the expert at this. You've edited it. You've read it all front and back. How do you use the forecaster?
It's a great question. It's a loaded question. Many layers. I would say A, if you're new to the forecaster, if this is only your first or second year ordering it, looking at it, I would, even though it's not light reading, I would go through what we call the Encyclopedia of Fanalytics section. It's basically the core concepts of everything we do at HQ. It is the section that I read as a young lad in college back in
years ago
back in, I think it was like 2007, 2008, I got my first baseball forecaster ever. And I remember reading through that encyclopedia section and like the light bulb just coming on. That's where a lot of the kind of things I talk about, that all that stuff is rooted in the encyclopedia section. So I would say if you're new to the forecaster, that's honestly your first place to go. A lot of people jump right to the player boxes. That's kind of the bread and butter of the forecaster, right? That's what we've had 10, 12 writers working on through all of October and half of November with our kind of player capsules for every single box. And you're right, Bubba, the PDF is, I think, even better than the hard copy book for that, because you can just control F your way through whoever you're looking at and get the write up on those. You may want to agree, control F the author name and ignore the Bloomfield pages. You know, any of those that are wrong will come to light on the show throughout the season. But no, that's what I would recommend. There's also, I mean, we put out, so Ron Chandler does an introduction every year, which is just awesome. He did a really illuminating piece on the lack of stability of early starting pitchers in recent seasons. Is pretty eye-opening. That may change your draft plans. That was really good. There's a whole research and abstract section. We've got Ed DeCaria, the man, the myth, the legend, back at it, doing some more research. So that there's a whole section there. But yeah, I would do the encyclopedia and then look for player analysis and that sort of thing. We've got I could go on and on. I'm kind of feels like a commercial at this point, but there's a whole prospects for redraft section. There's an overseas section that Tom Mulhall does, which is really good. There's a bunch. So any questions or whatever, you know, let me know. But it's a lot to dive into. Try not to get too overwhelmed. But yeah, that encyclopedia, that's what got me kind of going in this industry, to be honest. So it's good stuff.
First off, not a commercial, something you enjoy. It's your passion project, basically. So there's nothing wrong with that. But yeah, I echo the encyclopedia. I still kind of reference it a lot because a lot of terms still kind of slip past me at times, it's very, very helpful to do. And I'll just give you like my version of it, because we do so much content year round on players that I don't like purposely go box by box. I'll use the PDF to search for it. Like if we're on the show talking with them, or I'm writing something, like, oh, let's go see what they have to say about it. And I'll go check it out, because it's such a quick snippet. It's like perfect. Boom, boom, done. What I love to do is I prefer, like, I'll start with Chandler's deal and I'll read all the research stuff, because those are things that stand out to me. Like if you like reading the website, like, you know, facts and flukes or all these, like, there's a lot of analysis that uses different aspects. And then there's a lot of good research articles throughout the season on HQ. So I like looking at those kind of things, just because my brain, we're already doing so much player analysis on the show where I'm not going to go read, you know, hundreds of player boxes per se, unless it's like a player I'm really curious about. So again, that's the beauty of this thing, is to each their own. You can keep the big book. I have them, my last year's right over there by the TV, like 10 feet from me. A lot of guys will keep it on their desks. I've seen that on a lot of things. Ryan used to have them behind him, but he remodeled.
Look, they're under the little, there we go.
Oh, they're stacked up right there. Sorry, I couldn't see. I forgot upgraded the mic stand, and you got a trophy that distracts me from them. So I forgot.
The theme is to have the trophy on top of the stack of forecasters, you know, just to drive it home.
But the point is, there's many ways to do it. Find your groove for what you're looking for, because, like you said, some people literally will go straight to the box player boxes and they'll read them all. And hey, if that's what works for you, awesome, knock it out. I'm also an old. I like to have a hardcover in front of me. The PDF I love for searching on my computer, and I will read like the articles, because you can still read them like on your phone or whatever while you're just chilling, and it formats properly. It's just something about turning pages and this that works for me. But I'm not like opposed to it. I can't adapt, unlike other people. I know where you're going with this, but I do like the hardcover if I'm like really trying to dig in and look for stuff.
We do have some folks who print and then bind the PDF. Yes. So they get that, because the actual hard copy doesn't come out till like mid-December. So it is only like 3 weeks, but Steve Brunn is one who, he prints the whole thing out cover to cover. Then you have your hard copy. But
So I figured we bring that question early before we get into the steamer stuff, because it is a fun, and it's a question I don't know if we've heard it a lot, but I know people aren't alone in that question. So definitely talk about it, because like you said, with day after Thanksgiving right now, people should have a PDF on hand and you can start perusing the hard work that Ryan, Brent, Ray, and all of the writers put into this thing. So go check that out.
I will also add, we will attempt to, I've got a note out to the crew. We're similar to the past couple years we've done this, but interview a few forecaster writers, both either the boxes or the research. We'll have a few guests on in the coming weeks, hopefully, if we can get it all scheduled and get that going. So we'll have you'll have a little bit more of a baseball forecaster fix or flavor to this show in the next coming week. So just a early heads up on that.
Sweet. Alrighty. Bloom board season. Ryan's done with the forecaster, so it's bloom board season, everybody. We're getting cracking. He looked at a calendar and said, I know it's not 2025, but we're going to start looking at 2025 finally. He joins the crowd. By this time, you know, he might be drafting soon. That's how good things are, folks. It's happening. So,
this is the first. So, I kind of took the weekend off after the forecaster went to the printer, and then Monday, Tuesday this week, started to actually prep for some 2025 drafts, which, given we did a gladiator last week, that's kind of bass backwards. but I've turned the page. We are full 2025 now, and this is the start of that. So what I wanted to look at this week was really, I mean, the first projection system, the forecaster, we have our projections that come out as part of the book, but really Steamer, which is available on Fangraphs, is the first, and it's publicly available free. It's the first real projection system, I think, that comes out every year. It always comes out around first pitch.
It came that Sunday at first pitch. I remember coming back from the golf course, and like four guys were sitting there with their phones out around it, which, to be fair, that's just a normal occurrence at this event, but they were all like talking to each other, not just into their phones, and they're all comparing Steamer lines for certain players.
It
encapsulated the nerdness that takes place.
That is awesome.
First pitch Arizona. Yes, it was. I think it was like a Crumpler and I'm gonna screw it up now. I'm just gonna stop saying names. There's at least four guys sitting there doing it. It's pretty entertaining.
That's awesome. That is awesome.
Yeah. So talking Steamer, what are we looking at tonight, Mr. Ryan Bloomfield?
All right. So what we're looking at here is this is just kind of the jumping off point, is to at least just talk about some of these pitchers. These are the pitchers who are projected for the biggest improvements in ERA from 2024. And so for those watching on YouTube, that's your left side of your Bloom board. The green side is the pitchers projected to improve the most from 2024 per Steamer. And then the red side obviously is the other side of that equation. The pitchers projected to fall back the most in terms of ERA per Steamer from 2024. One small caveat for this, I mean, starting pitchers only. For the projected improvers, I did throw a cap of a 4.25 projected ERA, because when I ran these numbers the first time, I was getting a lot of scrubs, man, projected like to improve from a 6 ERA to a 4.50 or 4.75. And it's like, well, you know, I don't care about Patrick Corbin. I don't care about Lorenzen. Those types. So I filtered out.
Great stream last year. Don't forget that.
He was. I shouldn't be so quick to judge against our guy. But yeah, I filtered out kind of anyone projected. I'm showing anyone projected for a sub 4.25 just to kind of get the riffraff out of there.
Totally makes sense. So we'll have fun. We'll go through the list as usual and kind of go back and forth. And if you guys have any questions afterwards, make sure to hit us up, Discord or otherwise. Let us know what you got, but let's just have some fun out the gate. The first name at the top of the improving list here is one that maybe made a lot of people angry towards the end of the fantasy baseball season. Like, hopes were high, and then they got shot down very rapidly. Reed Detmers finished 2024 with a 6.70 ERA. Steamer has Reed Detmers projected for a 3.87 ERA, Ryan. This is impressive coming off of last year, because like you see 6.70, but okay, you know, the xERA was 4.14, the xFIP was 3.86, Sierra was 4.14. Okay, reasonable. They dropped it even farther though. So what's your thoughts when you see this projected ERA from Steamer for Reed Detmers?
Yeah, the 3.87 projection. It's bold. I mean, that's why Detmers does make the list, right? Because it is under that 4.25, because he could still improve a ton and still not make this 4.25 ERA cutoff. Yes, it's bold. I also totally get it. I was looking this up before the show, Reed Detmers was one of 38 pitchers with a 18% K to walk. Again, K to walk is our go-to kind of pitching metric. There are only 38 starting pitchers last year that had 18% K to walk. Out of those 38, nobody had a sub 4.75 ERA except for Detmers, who had a 6.70. So Detmers had an ERA 2 runs higher than anybody else on this list. And then all but 8 of those 38 that had an 18% K to walk or higher, all but 8 had a sub 4 ERA. So if you just look at the things a pitcher can control, strikeouts, walks, control the batted ball trajectory, that sort of thing, like I get where Steamer's coming at with a sub 4 ERA. Am I going to pay that? Probably not. I did my own projection on Detmers kind of leading up to the show. I've got him for like a 4. So still pretty good. I don't know if that will happen, but I'm trying to kind of put my blinders on to what happened on the surface for Reed Detmers in 2024, because it was some brutal homer to fly ball, BABIP, that sort of thing. And I have to think on the aggregate that evens out to league average over time. And if that does happen for Reed Detmers, I could see this going to a 4 ERA. As crazy as it sounds.
Yeah, you mentioned the home run to fly ball, worst of his career. Which is crazy.
Not to cut you off, but like, it's not like a bad thing. Yes, it was bad, but that doesn't, like, that means it should improve a lot in 2025. So.
Yeah, previous two seasons, 8.7, 11.7. He jumped to 17.1.
Right.
Yep. Like, that is a hike. Even if it drops down to like 12 again or 13, you're looking at a nice drop off. You'd obviously want more, but I'm just saying there's hope. We look at a guy with a walk percentage of 8.593 and 9.7. It's gone up the last 3 years, but so has the K rate. That obviously correlates to the K to walk, as you mentioned, so I wanted to highlight that. This is a guy that not too long ago in 2022 at a 4.05 xERA, a guy with a 3.77 ERA that year alone in 2022. So we've had a, you know, a history of potential good. And the one thing that really stood out to me when we just started talking, I opened up his page for the first time, Ryan, Reed Detmers is only going to be 25 years old this year.
That's the number I was like going to throw on. Yep.
I feel like we've dealt with Reed Detmers for a long time in fantasy baseball. And the fact he's 2025, I know I've harped on it a lot. You've like started to somewhat see my craziness behind it. Young players can get better. Like some projections might look really good or really bad for a young player. And you have to be like, he's young. These are the guys that actually can make changes that aren't statistically shown on a spreadsheet type thing. So I'm with you because we're looking at an ADP right now in just the month of November in Draft Champions of 353. Like that's worth the juice is worth the squeeze at that point, folks. Like I think it really is. So I think it's interesting. At first glance, you look at it and go, good Lord, 387. Like that's going to make people go crazy. But then like you said, what you said, I looked at it some more. I can at least understand the argument, like you said, and you projected him for a four. That makes total sense. And in the world where he strikes out what he strikes out, a four is not bad at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we think I would have thought Reed Detmers is like 29.
Yes.
And, you know, he's burned us for, you know, 4 years in a row. No, he's only 25 years old. It's kind of nuts.
He just leaves long lasting deep scars.
Scar tissue. <yeah. laughs>
when he gets us, it's not a little sliver. It's
there is a chance maybe he is a Nick Pivetta, like to go back a little more, Ricky Nolasco type, where it's
maybe Evaldi.
Evaldi until Evaldi was eventually good. But I think it's far too early to just write off Reed Detmers, no matter how serious and deep that scar tissue runs.
Yep. Here's another guy that bludgeoned many people's ratios until you dropped them this past year. Jordan Montgomery, who is laughing at the ownership of the Diamondbacks right now, going, you fools, I'm going to take your money and hopefully pitch better this year. We know the late start to Jomo last year. We know it was not great, 6.23 ERA, but projected for a 4.15 ERA after three straight years of a sub-4 ERA. Like, that seems pretty realistic to me, Ryan. I know we're hoping that we find the guy that was great for three seasons. But, you know, in reality, the projection is telling us almost just meet in the middle of this. So what's your thoughts with Jomo? We've talked about him before. And if you're interested in a guy like Jordan Montgomery, you don't have to pay a pretty penny. ERA or his ADP is 383. So shortly after Reed Detmers.
It's funny with Montgomery, like the projection, yes, I agree, is going to kind of meet in the middle with what we saw in 2024 versus the pre-24 Montgomery. I feel like in reality, though, it's going to be one of the two. It's either going to be we see 2024 again, which is a complete disaster, or Jordan Montgomery gets his stuff together and comes back to being the pitcher that earned him this kind of big contract going to Arizona. I almost don't think there's any in between. I think Montgomery either comes all the way back or he stays the 2024 version of Jordan Montgomery. And at a, whatever you said, 380 ADP, I'm willing to take that bet because if it doesn't work out, like, okay, you cut and move on. And that I think that's the perfect type of profile you want to go after in the late rounds. It's kind of like the opposite of Reed Detmers, where like Detmers, the skills were there in 2024. Montgomery, they weren't. Yeah. But with Montgomery, you're banking on the earlier version of Montgomery coming back, which could very well happen.
Yeah, that's the one thing I was going to say with Montgomery that makes a difference, 31 years old. With Detmers, we at least saw like the strikeouts. We saw the good with it, where Montgomery just completely looked like a shell of himself. And so it's just like, does he find it again is the question. Based on some of his snarky responses, I think I'm kind of hoping he does, but we'll see. There's still a lot of turmoil in that locker room. And I think he wants to get one more contract is why I think he's going to, you know, work his ass off to try to get back into it this year. But well, time will tell on that one. Dane Dunning, I don't want to go too deep here. He's always been a guy I don't mind for like his spot starts, but he's more of a long man in the bullpen. You got anything on Dane Dunning?
Nah, he ain't. Yeah. He ain't what you're looking for.
Yep. Now, this one's interesting because injuries have always been a concern, but Edward Cabrera, we've never denied the skill set with Cabrera. Awesome strikeouts, injuries, and some horrific walk rates throughout his career. But last year, Edward Cabrera had a 4.95 ERA. Steamers got him for 3.99. I got zero problem with that in all honesty.
It all depends what you think the walk rate's going to do. And yeah. I mean, the elephant in the room is the injuries, right? Yeah. I mean, Frederick Cabrera, it's been, and I think for the last 2 years, it's been shoulder related. Yeah. 112 IL days in the last two seasons, all shoulder related for Edward Cabrera. So it's like we can project the ERA, but I think really the most important number for Edward Cabrera is the innings. And I don't know what Steamer has him projected for innings wise, but I'd probably take the under given what I've seen. Ooh. Some Steamer innings projections.
Okay. Yeah. This brings me back to recording with Ben about some of the, so let's just put it this way. In Edward Cabrera's career, 26 and a third pro innings in the bigs, 71 and two thirds in the last 2 years, 99 and two thirds, 96 and a third. Steamer hasn't projected for 139 innings.
Yeah, that's not like crazy. I thought you were going to say like 180 or something.
And I'll give him this much, because each of the last 2 years, he's made 20 starts. Steamer only has him making 21 starts. They have him making 28 appearances out of the pen.
Okay.
Which I guess in a roundabout way could help with his health, if that's how you want to do it. I've never seen Steamer like go that deep into the process, but that's all I could read from that.
Yeah. Yeah. I just think I don't. Yeah. The ERA will probably get better from a 4.95, but really for Edward Cabrera, when he is healthy, it's all about the control. I haven't really seen many signs from Cabrera that the control is going to improve. I mean, in the walk rate itself or some of the underlying, like I look at ball percentage all the time to see if there's anything there. And quite frankly, I'm not seeing it, even if I look at first half, second half or monthly for Cabrera. So it's interesting. I put this out on the Blue Sky earlier this week that Detmers, Montgomery and Cabrera, the three guys we've talked about, they're all basically going next to each other, like mid to late 300s ADP. Kind of threw out there who would we rather. And so far, the majority of the responses have been Jordan Montgomery between those three. I think I would take Detmers.
I'm with you as well. But I'm a guy that strives for strikeouts. If anybody listens to our Gladiator stream, you should know that by now.
And whip. Whips your...
Yes. Edward Cabrera, come on down.
Yeah. You should have taken him in the last...
That's why I love Reed Detmers. Hey, almost a 10% walk rate, 28% strikeout. We're good, buddy. Bring it on. You're my kind of guy. God dang. Geez. But yeah. Like I was saying, like I could see the 399 if he pitches, you know, healthy, but I'm not buying it. Like I would literally take Detmers and Montgomery both over Cabrera on a draft.
Same.
Yeah. All right, Chris Paddock. I don't have a ton to say here. They have him going from 499 in 2024, projected for a 412. He was on his way to having a great season before injuries derailed him yet again in 2024.
Yeah, and this is another one similar with Cabrera. I don't think Paddock's ever thrown like 110 innings in major league season before. Forearm issues last year, like the K rate is bad. Even if Chris Paddock is healthy, and that's kind of the gamble you're playing at this late in the ADP, I don't really see much upside there. So no.
Yeah, Paddock's 88 and a third innings last year was the third most of his career. He threw 108 in 2021, 140, almost 141 in 2019. That's at the big league level, not counting minor leagues. So, yeah, doesn't have that longevity just yet. It's kind of a bummer because there were some high hopes for the sheriff at one point in time. All right, the newest member of the Listener League Gladiator Champion.
Your boy now.
My 2025 pitcher of the year. Just kidding. Once Ryan's, now he's handed him off to me. Sure Nick Lodolo, 4.76 ERA last year, projected for 3.99. I'm going to keep this short and sweet. Like, I agree with what you've always said. I was more concerned about the injuries last year. Again, we don't know. We're assuming he's healthy. He pitched towards the end of the year. You got to take that for what it's worth. But strikeouts are really good. Ratios have been great. Even with the 4.76, he had a 3.78 ERA, 3.95 xFIP, and a 3.78 Sierra. So 3.99 ERA for Nick Lodolo does not surprise me at all.
Nope. Not at all. Despite the pitcher park, despite the hitting park at his Great American Small Park, I have no problem with Nick Lodolo at a 3.99 ERA. And not only that, like he had a 120 whip last year. I think even that could improve in the strikeouts, even though the strikeout rate went down to 25%. last season, down from 30% and really 29% in the previous two seasons. The missed bats were still there for Nick Lodolo. Had a little bit of a second half fade, but dealt with, I mean, you mentioned the injuries, but had a pretty nasty blister in the second half. I think that had to do a little bit, at least, with Nick Lodolo's second half fade. And yes, a ton of injuries last year, but none were really arm related. It was the leg to start the season. I think he had a groin early on, which is probably related. Then he had a blister, and then he like sprained his finger or something late in the season. So like I even though the innings history has not been there for Nick Lodolo, I think it could absolutely get there. And I think even Nick Lodolo is better than a 3.99 ERA. I want to retransfer ownership back to me. From you.
Share him. Hey, I'm used to sharing custody. So if you want to do this, we can. I know all the proper terminologies that we need to make this work. He's got a 286 ADP right now, which is amazing.
286?
Yeah.
That's pretty good, man.
Let me double check. But because I remember, I think this time last year, or maybe in a couple months, but you know, offseason last year, 238. Still pretty good. We were doing like who would be the guy you could see in top 25 this time next year? And yours was Lodolo, I believe, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. I could see that happen. I could still see that argument. A healthy Lodolo is a top 25 starting pitcher. So
agreed. I think so.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I don't know how long we want to go here. I'm going to mention Trevor Rogers. 4.92 ERA last year, and that's only because he spent the rest of the season in AAA to save him. 4.16 projected ERA from Steamer. I get it. There's health. There's a lot of things that need to be fixed. I'm not buying it, but I only bring it up because we had a discussion in the Discord between some listeners and stuff. And at his ADP, this is why I want to bring up 566, gone as low as 605. We're talking 50 rounds. We're talking about a guy that should get at least 20 to 30 starts, depending on how things go. That's valuable at one point in time. So I wanted to bring up Trevor Rogers and get your thoughts on him.
And there's a ceiling at a 40th round ADP. I mean, the ceiling is what we saw he has actually done before, which was in, I believe, 2021, either 21 or 22. I think it was 21 for Trevor Rogers. So, yeah, Bill asked us in the Discord, like, what do we think about Trevor Rogers? I immediately want to be like, you know, just blow
puke
him off.
Emojis, puke emoji.
Yeah, I just want to throw up in my mouth because of obvious reasons. But I said, I mean, in the Discord, I said, despite how much I like to rag on Rodgers, he's the perfect kind of dart throw at this point, which is like the 40th round in the draft and hold. He'll have a rotation spot if he's good. The Orioles want him to succeed. And even though the Orioles couldn't fix Trevor Rogers right away last year, it doesn't mean to say entire offseason they can kind of work with him and develop it. So I think the big thing with Trevor Rogers to watch this spring, watch the velocity. Trevor Rogers, when he was good, was consistently like 93, 94 with the fastball. That dropped to 91 miles an hour in 2024. It's a big red flag. If that velocity comes out looking pretty good in the spring, I would take a dart on Trevor Rogers, despite, you know, a few months ago, I thought I'd never say that. But yeah, in a 40th round, it's the perfect type of spec you want to make.
Yeah, I haven't got there yet, but I almost did it in my recent DC. Like, I'm not kidding.
Did he get drafted? The
table. Let me double check right now, because I'm in round 40, in round 40 right now, almost round 41. Trevor Rogers is actually still on the board at this point in time. So his max is 605. Is that the right terminology there? We're getting close to that. We're at 597 on the clock right now.
I would debate at that point in the draft. There are not many starting pitchers, you know, kind of as we talked about, like in the draft and old primer episode. There, it's pretty bare, man.
Let me put it this way: the two I was deciding between, I didn't take Rogers, is Albert Suarez. So they're both pretty murky at that point in time. I'm just throwing it out there. So that's where we're at in DCs.
Why'd you take Albert Suarez, man? Guys,
because
no good.
He's better than he blows up when you need him most, but he's actually, his overall stat line is pretty darn good, especially for a 15 team DC. So
yeah,
all right. Doesn't strike out many though. All right, here we go. One of my boys that's now maybe your boy. Maybe we should swap Lodolo for Brandon Fott here. That might be fun. Yeah. Last year Fott at a 4.71 ERA, projected for 4.04. I am 1,000% on board with this. It comes down to home runs. That's the brass tacks for me. Walks would be nice, but they're not horrible. Like, it comes down to home runs in my mind. Ryan's probably got even a better description, because home runs were down last year, which was a plus, but he also dropped his ERA a whole run from the previous season. I think there's more fruit on the vines, as they say. So what's your thoughts on Brandon Faulk? Because I'm a huge proponent, obviously, of this man.
So I am too. The problem is I think everyone is. I think that's the issue. I'm looking at Brandon Faulk's ADP. It's 164. Yeah. It's a 164 ADP for someone who has never had a sub four. I mean, he's coming off, 4.71 ERA. Like you said, it was worse than that the previous season. So, like, that's the problem is you're paying for quite a bit of this improvement baked in the price. That's my biggest issue right now with Brandon Faulk. The other thing, which I think is correctable, lefties kind of crush him. He needs to find a consistent pitch against lefties. He has the changeup that he throws against lefties about 20% of the time. It's okay. He doesn't throw it for strikes enough, but again, he at least has a pitch. If he can kind of develop that changeup and have something that works against lefties, he can take that step. But again, this is someone that I think it's going to be one of those, like, everyone's favorite sleeper types in Brandon Faulk, because the early market, you are not getting any discount. Yeah. It's funny to kind of juxtapose Brandon Faulk with, like, Detmers, Montgomery, Cabrera. He's going 200 picks before those guys. And he's better than those guys.
Yes.
Is he 200 picks better? I don't know.
Well, and at least with Detmers, again, of course, this episode's going to turn into the Reed Detmers
show. Jesus, the Reed Detmers show.
Jeez, things I didn't think I'd be doing.
That's how we grow the podcast.
I hope you guys enjoyed Thanksgiving. but when it comes, like, in a vacuum, I could see Detmers outperforming Faulk if he brought his A game.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, dude.
Now, Montgomery and Cabrera is still tough for me to stomach. Yes, could happen. We've seen actually Montgomery do it. Actually,
but many times, yeah. I would add.
So it's like your example does have a lot of validity to it. So
I'm saying it's just interesting. Like, I really like Brandon Faulk. I had his forecaster box and I put an upside of 325 ERA and 200 Ks for Brandon Faulk's upside in the forecaster.
What IPA were you drinking?
Might have been the hard stuff. Actually,
he was onto the whiskey. This was Sunday after golf. He was writing. He went up to Raj's room, but poured himself a cup and started writing.
Poured myself a stiffy and got Brandon Faulk's page. I think he's that good. But do I think that's going to happen? No, I'm just saying, like,
sometimes that's how ceilings work, though. You got to make those calls. I'm with you on that. I'm not going to go deep on this. Garrett Crochet, 358 to 293. I think we all know how good he is, and that's very doable.
Yep, agreed. I still find it crazy. Garrett Crochet had a 358 ERA last year. That's higher than I think most people think. But
still think it's crazy. He finished the year on the mound after never making a start his entire career. That's pretty wild to me as well. Frankie Montas, 484 ERA last year, 420 projected ERA in 2025. I only bring this up because I got heckled often on this show about Frankie Montas, who I think was better than people give him credit for, my co-host. But he's a free agent, so we'll see. It's just we've seen before this year, 405, 337. He had a bad 5.60 in a short season. He's had many years of really good ERA, so why is a low 4s ERA out of the question?
It's not totally. It's just the skills aren't what they were pre-injury.
They're inconsistent.
I mean, he's just not missing as nearly as many. So the two good years with Frankie Montas, those 2 years that you mentioned, had a 14 and a 13 swinging strike, which is good. League average like 11.5, and that's basically what it was for Montas last year. So I just don't see enough missed bats to get that K rate back up to where it was. But you never know. It was his first year back from a major injury, and I don't know. Landing the lazy landing spot will be important. Yes. Analysis applies here as well. So, but you like him far better than I do. The forecaster projection for Montas is 450 compared to 420 for Steamer. So,
At a 388 ERA in November, I can at least stomach that. I can roll with that and see where it goes. All right. That's a quality start, by the way, 450 ERA. For those that love that stat, Yariel Rodriguez, Toronto Blue Jays, 4.47 ERA last year, projected for 3.91. This one's tricky for me, Ryan, because I think the skills are really good. We've seen them very inconsistently in their first run. It's like, does he pitch two innings? Does he pitch five? Does he not pitch at all? A million questions there, so I don't know what to expect from Yariel Rodriguez, which makes it very difficult for me to jump on board with 3.91.
Yeah, for me, and maybe this is just like a mental block thing for me, but if you can't get to the fifth inning consistently as a starting pitcher, it's like you're kind of – dead to me. And Yariel Rodriguez couldn't do that. Again, first year in the majors since coming over, could improve, but I just don't see, like, the walk rate maybe gets better from like a whatever 12% he had in 2024, but not a lot of missed bats. I don't see the avenue for Yariel Rodriguez to be like super productive. The efficiency needs to be there, and it hasn't been so far to get deeper into games.
100%. Kyle Harrison, 4.56 ERA last year, projected for 4.08. Had a shoulder injury at the end of the season, but I think 4.08 is 100% in the realm of possibilities. I just want to say, like, if you know the Spider-Man gif, Reed Detmers, meet Kyle Harrison. This is you guys in a nutshell. Like, that's the two. Because look at the home run to fly balls. Look at the walk rates. Look at the Ks. He's 23 this year, so he's 2 years younger than Detmers. We've seen, you know, you'd want a better K to walk, but it's there is what I'm trying to get at. This is a young pitcher that's still developing, kind of like the Detmers thing. It's just tough. Like, when's he gonna click? Is the shoulder injury an issue? I am very optimistic on Kyle Harrison. It's not me being a Giants fan, because if you listen to any of my content, this show or others, I am very pessimistic when it comes to Giants about pretty much most things. But I'll say realistic. But I do think Kyle Harrison's very good. Now, again, I'd like to see a clean bill of health before I really get behind the drive for Kyle Harrison. But if you're drafted right now, I have no problem taking a chance on Kyle Harrison at his ADP. I think there is enough skill set in this guy's arm to someday be like a really good, like, real life SP2. Like, I don't think he's better than a Webb, or he's not a Snell by any means. He's a really good real life SP2 or 3, which in fantasy as an SP4, 5, or 6, I think is awesome. So I think he's very good. I think he's a very similar skill set to Reed Detmers without digging too deep into it.
I just don't know. Like, Kyle Harrison's one of the ones where I just throw up my hands, because this is someone like huge strikeout guy in the minors with, like, the narrative was if he could just harness it, if he could have some control and not walk. And he's kind of become the opposite guy. He's not a control artist by any means in the majors, but the walk rate was league average last year. However, the strikeout rate was also league average, if not a tick below league average. So for me with Harrison, it's like, will we see that minor league kind of major strikeout ceiling? Will we see that version of Kyle Harrison in the majors? Ton of prospect pedigree, and he's still just 23. So to your point there, I could definitely see a step forward, even if we haven't seen it yet in the skills so far in the majors.
Yeah, it was interesting last year. He got an 8% jump in his changeup usage. So they really started playing with his pitch mix in his first full year. I'm curious to see if there's going to be a continued philosophy. That's Bob Melvin's first year with his new staff. So I'm curious to see what they're going to do with Harrison. We've already talked about Webb not striking out the guys like he once did, so on and so forth. But I kind of wish Robbie Ray would take Harrison under his wing. Go, hey, I'm a lefty. You're a lefty. Let's go figure this out.
Teach him a little. Yeah, because it almost is like the minor league version of Kyle Harrison is kind of that Robbie Ray path to success. It's a great
lots point. Of walks, but a lot of strikeouts. That's
a good point. Teach him that slider, Robbie.
That's where I'm just like, he's 23. Like, there's a lot of room for growth. So I need to see if that shoulder's healthy.
And what's the ADP on Mr. Harrison?
He's like 368. So it's not a lot. Like, he's around Tyler McGill, Zach Lytle. A lot of questionable, like, guys we see potential in, but are they type things? So yep. I'm buying at that price to see what we can get out of them.
Yep. I got it. Yep.
All right. A couple more here before we go to the downside of things. Your boy, Pablo Lopez, 4.08 ERA. You discussed how indicator. Well, I'm giving you credit by that. You discussed multiple times, like, the indicators is better. Times. Great second half. He's projected for 3.62. Honestly, we've seen him be better than that. So 3.62 is pretty easy.
Yeah, my only bone to pick with this projection is the ERA should be lower. Yeah, 3.62, like, but we don't need the listeners to. If you've listened to this show for any amount of time, you know how much I love Pablo Lopez. I think he's really good, and last season's early struggles do nothing to change that. So,
yep, most definitely. Brian Bayo, this is a guy that I've bought into every single year, and it's just like, it feels like it's so close yet so far with Brian Bayo. This past year, a 4.49 ERA. That was 4.24 the year before in his first full run in the bigs. He's putting up innings for you. He's projected for a 4.05 ERA in 2025. So it's an improvement. It's the same thing. you know it's there, but can he consistently do it? The indicators look like he should be better, but there's still a lot of, like, it's not all clicking is the best way I can put it. But again, he's going to be 26. So he's not super old. What's your thoughts on Bayo? Like, I like Brian Bayo. ADP of 309 is not as steep as it once was, at least.
Yeah, I could. He's tough. I could totally see it clicking, but he is so damn inconsistent. The changeup is, like, truly an awesome, awesome pitch. Gets a ton of whiffs, gets a ton of ground balls. The problem is the fastball took a major step back for Bayo last season. Like, he barely misses bats with it. And if the fastball isn't as effective, I mean, that is right. It's just like with these fastball splitter guys. It's a similar type deal with the changeup. That affects the fastball effectiveness, affects how good the changeup is. So it's kind of like whack-a-mole almost with Brian Bayo. But I agree. The ingredients are in place. Does it all come together at once? I don't know.
Yeah, it's going to be third full season as a starter for the Red Sox. It's kind of, you know, poop or get off the pot pretty soon for Brian Bayo when it comes to the Red Sox and fantasy. All right, last one I just want to mention real quick. Sonny Gray, similar to your Pablo Lopez, finished with a 3.84 ERA, projected for a 3.43. Indicators were even better than that. Difference from him and Pablo is 3.43 is probably fair because we've seen Sonny go so high and so low. But at the same time, I could see it going lower. I still think Pablo's the better pitcher. Going to give you that one real easy on that one. But interesting to see Sonny get an even better projection than the way he finished last year.
Yep, we want to talk about a homer to fly ball guy. It was Sonny Gray. You know that in the previous two seasons, it was at 9.5%, so on the very favorable side. And then in 2024, despite the skills being much better for Sonny Gray in 2024 than in previous seasons, a 14% homer to fly. And so that just took ERA and yeah, shot it up to that 3.84 mark. So pitched, I mean, if you look at the Sierra, which is what we like to look at for ERA based on the skills, that was 3.03 last year for Sonny Gray. Like, he was legitimately a really, really good pitcher. The other nice thing with Sonny Gray, and this kind of goes back to my, like, never-ending harping on trying to predict pitcher injuries, someone who has been very injury-prone throughout his career the last two seasons, Sonny Gray, 184 and 166 innings pitched. And that's with Sonny Gray starting the season on the IL last season with a non-arm injury.
Injury. So one of my few, well, we talk about our losses more. We talk about our wins on this show. And that was one of my wins. I took the drop on his ADP all over the place with a hamstring injury.
One kind of big picture thing with this group that we just talked about. I harp on this, and you'll hear me harp on it throughout draft season. These middle rounds are so damn important. Hitting on, when we talked about on our draft and hold episode, hitting on these middle late rounds. We just talked about six or seven starting pitchers going around 300, 380.
Yep.
History says one or two of those guys is probably going to hit big. And do your deep dive on this group as opposed to focusing on, we'll probably do a top 20 starting pitcher episode ourselves, but like all the attention gets pushed up on the aces. Who would you take in the first round? Yada, yada. This is the group I think you need to focus on and get your hits here, because that's really what's going to matter in terms of how good your team is.
All right, let's go to the flip side here. I didn't plan on talking about all these pitchers, but there are actually a lot of intriguing discussions to be made here. Maybe not as deep on this side, but we'll see. Ronaldo Lopez leads the way, 1.99 ERA. I think we all expected that to come back to earth a little bit because he severely overachieved. He actually pitched more innings than we ever thought he would, converting from reliever to starter. Projected for 3.90, so it's like that's almost a full two runs differential there. Do we buy that big of an issue? Like, I think he's probably more of a 3-something ERA guy. We've seen him be worse than that. So what's your thoughts on Ronaldo Lopez dropping to a 3.9 ERA potentially?
I mean, it's no surprise that he's like at or top. Anybody who has a 1.99 ERA, like nobody's that good, really, outside of like a Skeens or Scooble. Even those guys, I would argue, are not that good. So, yeah, Ronaldo Lopez is going to be on this list. Ronaldo Lopez is tough, man, because I worry about the volume more than anything else. In the forecaster, we've got a thing. Last 2 months of the season, Ronaldo Lopez threw 31 innings. 31 innings only in the last 2 months of the season. However, when he did pitch, they were damn good 31 innings. So that's the thing. It's like the volume wasn't there late down the stretch for Ronaldo Lopez, but the skills, you look at first half, second half, or even August and September, the skills are actually quite a bit better in the second half for Ronaldo Lopez. So that's kind of the tricky part, is what does that innings pitch total look like? I've got Ronaldo down for like a repeat, like 130, 135. I don't know what Steamer has, but that's the tricky part for innings.
See, they have him for 179.
I would take the firm under on that. But yeah, he is a guy who did return at the end of the season and pitched well, like did not end the season hurt. So I don't know. I'm probably, well, what the hell is his ADP?
It's like 112. I was just looking. I have it right now.
127.
I have 135 in the month of November. Yeah.
Tough decisions. That's why I haven't drafted yet.
He's going like 20 picks after Sonny Gray.
Yeah. I mean, he's
going right after New Angel Yusei Kikuchi.
Oh, God. don't depress me. Why did he have to sign with the Angels?
Yeah, I know.
That price tag feels about right for him. Like, if I have to struggle with it at that price, that feels about right.
Which is crazy because he was the final pick of round 11 of our meatball draft. So Jenny, quote unquote, on paper, got a deal on that one.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. All right.
I took Kikuchi in that round.
Yes, you did. That's a deal too. Well, we'll see.
Until he signed with the Angels. Yeah. It's actually from like a park factor. There's no reason to not like the.
Yeah, I don't understand signing. All the hate besides the development of the team.
But it's maybe just he like,
just read Detmers and throw a slider.
Dude, it's just no one trusts the Angels with anything. So it's like immediately they're like a disease. When you sign with the Angels, you're just done. Maybe not true, but I don't know.
Yeah. We'll see. All right. Renel Blanco, 2.8 ERA last year, 4.38 projected ERA. I'm much more in line with the 4.38. We talked all year looking at underlying metrics, like how is this happening? I'm surprised he even finished the season, let alone did what he did.
Yeah. This is the ultimate. And this is another one where like the market's going to be on this too. No one's paying for even a mid-threes ERA Renel Blanco. The skills, even though he threw the changeup a lot more. The changeup was a good pitch. He upped its usage from 9 to 22% last year. Missed a good number of bats and ground balls and all that. But in general, the skill set for Renel Blanco was not. I mean, it was average. It was average. And so that's what you need to pay for, is kind of an average innings eater.
Yep, lots of walks, all that fun stuff. Nick Martinez just got paid. 3.10 ERA last year, projected for 4.67. I am much more in line with 4.67.
I'm not. I like Nick Martinez. Each of the last three seasons has had 100 plus innings and a sub 350 ERA and a whip under
bullpen 1.3. Innings are good. Bullpen innings are real good.
Yeah, he was just as good when he went to the rotation, though, and threw 140 innings. Like, he wasn't like a full bullpen. I mean, he pitched multi inning outings, and like, he wasn't a true, I mean, threw 110 innings last year. Like, that's a lot for a bullpen arm. I like Nick Martinez. I mean, the K's aren't going to be there, but like, he's a supreme control artist, throws a ton of strikes, does not walk any, a 3% walk rate.
Wait. A supreme control artist who had a 8.7, 9.2, 5.0, 10.6% walk rate. Like, his whips were 1.26. No, he should be on my team. With his whips, last year seems like an outlier. That's why I'm just curious on that.
I don't know.
We'll see. 3.2% walk last year is awesome. Not downplaying that, but
that's George Kirby-esque.
Yeah,
when the walk rate drops like that, you want to look. Was there a pitch mix change that's or anything where he's throwing those changes and a little bit? Nick Martinez has a starter's arsenal. He's got four pitches. Sorry. That he throws almost 20% of the time, which is good. And the ball rate dropped to 33%. League average on that is 36. Throws a ton of strike. I think that maybe he doesn't have a 3% walk rate again.
Yeah,
but if it's 4 or 5%, I think that whip is going to be solid. So I would take the firm under on Nick Martinez. 4.67 seems extremely high.
He's got like six pitches he uses. This is impressive.
Yeah, he's not. Even though he was a reliever by title, he's just the forecaster projection. I hope I'm not giving away too much with the forecaster, but y'all should get it. 3.83 ERA is a forecaster projection for Martinez. I would align with that over a 467. I think
almost
that's really
almost a run better.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was looking at his, he did make a pretty good pitch mix change from San Diego to Cincinnati. A lot more fastballs and cut, not like overwhelming, but probably where he's locating them has a lot to do with it because of that control master, as we you mentioned.
Yeah. Yeah. The control master Martinez. We got a new nickname.
Yep. Yep. The control machine, control master. We'll workshop it. Yeah. We'll get it. Hunter Green, his teammate, had a 275 last year up to 423. The way he gets at the long ball, 423 is always doable. Like, I think he's a better pitcher than that, maybe more like, you know, 3.8, 3.9, but 423 is not that far off.
Not that far off. I don't know about you, but like, Hunter Green is someone who I'm probably just not going to be drafting, haven't been drafting, have never drafted him. And yep. I just worry so much about the injuries and that famous kind of velocity chart where everyone gets hurt. Hunter Green is all over that. And,
well, because like you look at his ADP, it's 89. So you have to like pay a premium.
Yeah.
Like, you got Schwellenbach right there, Bailey Ober's right there, Logan, like all these dudes at least.
I'm taking Logan Webb and Bailey Ober over. And I'm
Tanner Bibee going 2 picks later. Like, come on.
And maybe I miss. Maybe we both miss on that because Hunter Green can. I mean, the ceiling for Hunter Green is admittedly.
Well, my thing is where he's getting drafted every season. There's so much volatility in his pick. I'll take something I can try. Like, he's either going to lose your league or win your league for you, but I'm not going to play that middle game.
Yeah, same.
Tobias Myers, ERA of 3 last year, 4.45 projected ERA in 2024. This is the dude that every time I'm on the clock, when he's on the board, I am constantly looking at his Fangraphs page and trying to figure out what the heck to do with this guy. Because he's very effective last year, but I felt like he overachieved as well. So what are your thoughts on Tobias Myers?
Yeah, I don't really know what to do with him either. Not quite the control artist, the master that is Nick Martinez, but does have pretty good control and a good ball rate to go with it. But I worry about the lack of Ks with Myers. The swinging strike is not very good and doesn't really have a pitch that misses bats outside of a changeup. But he only threw the changeup like 10% of the time last year. So it's really a platoon split pitch for Tobias Myers. So if I don't know what to do with someone, I'm generally not drafting him. I don't know if the strikeout upside is enough. That said, you're paying a 293 ADP on someone coming off 3 ERA. So like, he is pretty cheap, and that's probably why, like you said, he's lingering, hanging around your draft board.
Yep. Now I think I have at least one share in my two early drafts. Like, I'm in, but I'm not in at the certain prices. A couple of these we can probably fly past, but Michael Lorenzen, 331 to 469, who cares?
Agreed. I have gone off on Michael Lorenzen before, so
yeah. Jameson Taillon, 3-2
my man,
449. I think we all know he overachieved last year, but
what?
Like, I liked him too. I professed that in a 15 teamer, this guy is what you want. Time and time again, he's a pretty good ratio guy, not a lot of strikeouts. So 4.49 might, I think it's fair, but I could see the argument for slightly lower too.
I know. I'm just giving you crap because I took Taillon as my last pitcher in the Gladiator on Thursday, and quite honestly, I don't feel that great about it. Like, you look at
Gladiator, I wouldn't, but no, I'm just kidding.
You look at it's interesting, the with Taillon, the skills are pretty much the exact same as what we saw in 2023, and you just go over to look at the luck factors, the BABIP, the left on base, and the home run luck. That's where you get a difference. That's why the ERA improved from 484 to 327, right? The WHIP was great too, just like a really, really fortunate BABIP for Jameson Taillon. It's probably not going to happen again. So I am I guess on board with the pretty brutal regression that's coming for Jameson Taillon, even though I picked him. I don't know. I was tired.
Yeah, fair enough. Luis LRT's 3.32 ERA last year, 4.53. I think we all knew he overachieved last year.
Yeah.
I'm just going to kind of avoid this one, kind of like I avoid Lorenzen.
Agreed.
Clark Schmidt's a fun one, though, because I've seen a lot of people, including Uncle Ted, really excited about Clark Schmidt. Last year, Schmidt had a 2.85 ERA. Projected for 403 this year with the New York Yankees. He had the injuries last year, obviously, that derailed most of the season. This is a guy that, you know, 285 this past year, 464, 312. And we've seen him kind of be all over the board, honestly, with his production. But if you want to, we talked about the ERA indicators benefiting guys' arguments for improvements. the area indicators benefit the argument for a regression from Clark Schmidt. So what's your thoughts with him?
Yeah, I mean, but again, it's falling back from a 2.85 ERA, which
it's to be expected.
It's to be expected. So I would take on a better ERA. I think Clark Schmidt could be a sub 4 ERA guy, and if he can do that with the Yankees, you know, conceivably the wins should follow. Maybe I shouldn't say this, but depending if they sign Juan Soto, as we pre-recorded this 3 days before the actual thing. But no, Clark Schmidt looked really good, and I'm not too concerned about volume with him. 159 innings in 2023 in the majors, 85 last season, and finished healthy. So nice uptick in K rate, supported by an uptick in swinging strikes, and really the cutter was really good for him. He threw it the most of any pitch, and it missed the most bats of any of his pitches. So I quite like Clark Schmidt, and I think he will improve upon that 403 ERA. Now, do I like him compared to the market, which I'm still getting used to? He's 203 ADP, which
it's tough.
It's not. I mean, that's not crazy.
I mean, like, he's going right before like Spencer Arrighetti, Yu Darvish, like Tanner Houck. It's an interesting realm of pitch. Like, I'm not in love with most of the pitchers in this range, honestly.
Yeah, that's he's going right behind your guy, Mackenzie Gore.
Mackenzie Gore, yeah.
So I don't know. That feels about right.
It's the right pocket, but it's a pocket I'm not a big fan of navigating right now.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, a few more here. Seth Lugo, 3 ERA to 4.16. I think we can all, but 3.357, 3.60, 3.50 the last four seasons. Those have been pretty good. He had a 2020 that was disastrous, then 2.7, 2. He's been pretty good all along for a long time. The innings is the biggest conundrum with Seth Lugo. Where do the innings, do they continue? How do they continue? All those kind of questions. But 4.16 ERA might be a little high, honestly.
I mean, he's only going 30 picks ahead of whoever the hell we just talked about, Clark Schmidt.
Yeah.
So it's the market's smart. The market knows we're not getting 2024 Seth Lugo again. But yeah, you mentioned like how good he's, or at least I don't say how good, how consistent he's been.
Yes.
Previous to 2024 with those mid 3 ERAs, I'd probably take the under on a 4.0 or 4.16. I don't know. He's tough.
Yeah.
He's tough. Like would you take Schmidt or Seth Lugo?
I have to. Probably Schmidt for team context. I'll say that much.
Yeah. Okay.
It's rough.
I keep going back and forth between the two. Yeah.
It's a tough one. You should get a draft room and find out. Andrew Abbott.
4 days. No one's counting.
Who's counting? No one's counting. 3.72 ERA to 4.75. I think Andrew Abbott had the biggest rabbit's foot in his back pocket I've ever seen. Like I was just waiting for the blow up and it never happened.
So you're calling him Andrew Rabbit?
Sure. If we want to roll with that, we can workshop that one too.
Yeah, that was bad. I apologize. Almost a 5 expected ERA for Andrew Abbott last year from Baseball HQ. You look at, especially in that park, the home run, I don't want to say luck, it was league average homer to fly, but not for Great American Small Park. And then the BABIP was pretty friendly to Andrew Abbott. I think if you're even optimistic, you look at the second half line for Andrew Abbott when the luck kind of even out a little bit. And that's like a mid fours ERA with a whip you would love, 1.147. So not good.
Whip it good, boys. Yeah. All right. Yeah. This guy is a conundrum to me in draft room so far. So talk some sense into me here. Bowden Francis, 3.3 ERA. They haven't projected for a 4.31 ERA in 2025, Ryan. This is a guy that came on the scenes late in 2024 and just was a machine in the back end of that Toronto bullpen or rotation. I mean, 103 innings up from 36 the year before at the big league level. Obviously, there were some minor league numbers if you want to dig deeper. He actually threw 123 innings total last year. But the ratios were great. Strikeouts were almost non-existent at times. That usually crosses you right off my list. But we're talking ratios. We're talking ERA tonight, Ryan. So what's your thoughts on Bowden Francis?
No, I think the projection is maybe maybe a touch pessimistic at 431, but I don't think by too much. Agreed on the strikeouts. Like, I always think back to that. Do you have a no-hitter or a near no-hitter with one strikeout?
It was a near no-hitter with one strikeout, yes.
Yeah, I feel like that's the epitome of Bowden Francis last year. He was better than that, but you need to miss more bats. At least if I'm going to draft you need to miss more bats than what Bowden Francis has. Even in the second half, an 11% swinging strike, I mean, it's still below average. So unless you get a ton of Ks or you get a ton of volume to go with kind of a mediocre strikeout rate, probably not going to draft you. So I'm probably off the Bowden Francis thing for
195 ADP in the month of November. So he's going around a lot of these guys in the same area, which makes you really have to contemplate life. Ben Lively, 381 ERA to 480. This has been a guy that I've streamed from time to time. Yeah, I cannot buy into full time, but he did throw 151 innings last year, which is pretty bonkers, all things considered. 538, 405, like previous KBO numbers were worse than last year. So what's your thoughts on Ben Lively?
He's a streamer.
Yeah.
He's a streamer. I wouldn't draft him because I don't think the ceiling is high, and where Ben Lively's going, you want to draft ceiling. And so if I'm not drafting him, I'm playing the matchup game, which is what we did with Ben Lively last year.
All right. This is a fun one now. The Nature Boy cleats were a top-notch pick late in the year, but Brian Wu, 289 ERA, projected for 385, threw 121 innings last year, thought he was going to get Tommy John surgery at least three times, and he kept pitching. He still hasn't got that fixed, by the way, for whatever's going on, if that makes you feel warm and fuzzy. But the whip, definitely not a guy for my team. Amazing whip. Yeah. But there's a lot of factors to me involved. Like, you did not walk on guys. Strikeouts are kind of low for what I'm hoping for. Still not bad, 21.4%. But looking for the amount of innings he throws, his K per nine is not high. What's your thoughts on Brian Wu? Because the injury alone just takes me off of him. But yeah. Basically a full run more projected ERA.
Yeah, and I'm trying to get past the feeling of existential dread when you draft Brian Wu, because it was like every week. He's like the Salvador Perez of pitchers.
Yeah, that's fair.
Younger. It's just like every week he strains his hamstring and then goes out and pitches seven innings of one run ball. I worry about, so like, yeah, he had a 0.85 whip, like you said. Like, that's not even close to repeating. The BABIP was super fortunate for Brian Wu. I worry about the lack of strikeouts more than anything. Like, this is almost a Bowden Francis level of Ks that we just talked about. And I think Wu gets a little bit more credit for strikeout upside than Francis does. Now, there was a nice uptick in whiff rate in the second half, jumped from like 10 to 12.5%. So that is interesting with me, or interesting to me. But I look at the pitch mix with Brian Wu, and outside, like, the fastball is really good. And this is maybe he needs to hang out with Gilbert and Bryce Miller and that sort of thing and work on a splitter, because the same type of profile, and Kirby, same type of profile, really good fastball, but there's not much else. Like, the sinker was not good. It got ground balls, but it did not miss bats. A slider was bad for a slider. Same with the changeup. Like, he does not have a secondary pitch that misses bats. Until that develops with Brian Wu, I think he's going to be overdrafted. And then you tack on the injury risk, I think, with him. So
I'm with you. That's why I'm just terrified. You know, November ADP of 131 going right before Kikuchi.
Yeah, that seems to, like, we talked about Ronaldo Lopez earlier. I think I'd go Lopez over Wu.
Yep.
Same price.
Yeah, Lopez going literally like four picks later. So, yeah, with you there. All right, the last one is a guy I'm still a fan of. I know he gets hated because he's old. He's going to be 33, so old. But he's been pitching since he was 21, so let's be fair. He's pitched for a long time in the bigs. Michael Wacha did it once again, folks. 3.35 ERA, projected for a 4.30. He's been 3.35, 3.22, 3.32 the last 3 years, while just pumping quality starts out there with a Bowden Francis / Brian Wu-esque K-to-walk rate. I love what we've seen from Michael Wacha for 3 years. I've talked about it's boring. In 15-team leagues, it's beautiful. 12 teams, probably more a streamer. I don't, 4.30, okay, sure, I guess. But I still think he's a high three guy. I don't see how you move him to 4.3. He's a different pitcher than he was before. And even the outlier, like the estimators didn't have 4.30 all of last year. So I think it's taking quite a jump backwards.
Yeah, not only is the 4.30 ERA, and I get why Steamer's projecting it. Trust me, I get it. Not only is it a full run higher than what it was last year, it's a full run higher than any of Michael Wacha's ERAs in the last three seasons.
Yeah.
That's hard to project. Even if, and this is where I struggle with Wacha, this is where I struggle with Kyle Hendricks when Kyle Hendricks was good. It's like, at what point do you just kind of throw up your hands and say, maybe there's something the traditional skills or whatever don't capture with Wacha? Or is it an extended 3-4 year period of luck? I don't know the answer to that. Because, yeah, I could sit here and spit off mediocre K-rate, mediocre walk rate, all that stuff. But he's beat it 3 years in a row. It's like maybe he's gotten lucky three times in a row. That coin has flipped heads each of those times. But each of the last three seasons, you have gotten an awesome value from Michael Wacha. And not that old, like you said.
Yep.
I feel like Michael Wacha is our age, but he's only 33. So there's still plenty left in the tank.
Yep, 264 ADP. Like when I see Wacha, I think it's Adam Wainwright towards the end, and we're not even close. Waino got close to 40 when he hung it up. Like, Wacha's got a ways to go to hit those. I don't know if he's going to make it that far, but he's got time, to say the least.
I think to kind of put the bow on Wacha, I think he's a little bit more of like a better like draft and hold play than a fab league play, because I think he's going to you're able to bank those innings in a draft and hold. Whereas in a fab league, especially a shallower one, a 10 or 12 teamer, you may want to go for someone with better strikeout upside. But in those deeper draft and holds, what Michael Wacha can do is damn useful.
Yep. Love him in 15s, draft and holds, and 12s is pretty much a stream only type option for me. So I'm with you in that regard. Any final thoughts on our first real Bloom board of the 2025 season, Steamer ADP versus 2024 or ERA versus 2024 ERA?
No, just fascinating group, and I love how we're honing in on, not to sound like a broken record, we're honing in on this, like, 200 to 300 ADP pocket, which I don't know if that many people are doing this time of year. We all love to focus on the early rounds, but to kind of repeat what I said before, this is where leagues are won if you hit on some of these guys. So I'm glad we're honing in on this group, and hoped our semi-cogent analysis today was helpful for you all.
Most definitely. Before we head out of here, got some listener questions from the Discord to run through.
Good word.
Cogent, yeah, that was way outside of my realm. So
I had to look it up after I said it. It actually, clear, logical, and convincing is what cogent means.
You overachiever, you. Look at you go. All right, got a couple listener questions here. Aaron Gifts in the Discord says, thoughts on Chad? We're going to save that one for a different show. Sorry. I'll save that one for a different show. This is how well prepared I was for this. I do have
shows may have already aired.
Yeah, just throwing that out there. We got one here that Martin Sikulski says, I'm definitely interested to hear your thoughts on Wu. Curious on Bubba's on Harrison. Bayo's inclusion on the list is interesting. So we hit all those, but just giving Martin his shout on that, we touched on all of those for sure. Yep. And then Michael C., our buddy Michael Cicchini, came in with one as we were recording. If not too late, isn't Jordan Montgomery a buy at his ADP from 21 to 23? He was a 3.48 ERA, 1.18 whip on average, 170 innings per year. Feels like 89% of his issues last year were prep, late sign related. I'm on board with that. We kind of said that. What about you?
Yeah, well, we kind of said that the projection is going to kind of hedge in between the two, but in reality, it's going to be one or the other. The only thing with Montgomery, and I'm not shaming him or anything, the dude was out of shape. Dude was out of shape last year. Like anyone who followed Montgomery last year, that was pretty obvious. So I think it's ultimately up to Jordan Montgomery if he wants to be the pre-Jordan Montgomery that we saw, or if he's going to be the same guy that we saw last year. I don't think the late signing is the reason why he struggled. I think the reason why he struggled is he just wasn't ready. And I think that's on him and not the late signing. Maybe that's a little harsh, but I don't know.
I agree. Yeah, you need to be ready no matter what type thing. Like there's a lot of phrases that surround that, like, you know, being ready basically is the gist of it. That's why I understand there's the whole thing they say, you know, live is better than prep. You need to be prepped to go live, and they weren't ready to go live.
Yep.
And your professionals. John Wilder just wanted to mention this comment in the chat when Ryan mentioned the Bloom board. And if anybody has questions for the show, John Wilder goes, clearly, Steamer has never had Detmers on their fantasy team.
Classic.
That's how I want. We basically made this the Detmers show, so I wanted to end it with the Detmers comment on the wrap around there. So we will wrap it up with that, Ryan. Again, one last time, any final thoughts before we head out on tonight's episode?
Now, enjoy your weekends, everyone. Happy Black Friday if you represent. I don't know. Participate.
Well done.
Yeah, we'll just end it there. I'll just stop.
Have a great weekend, everybody. Enjoy December around the corner. Get in your drafts. If you're on the lookout for a slow DC, someone might be signing up for one on Sunday if you want to see how that goes. As you can tell by his 2025 prep, he's ready to go. So go get in that and see where it goes. But until then, check out Ryan on the Twitter on Ryan at Ryan BHQ, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod. I'm at BD Intrick. And until next time, this was Bubba and the Bloom. Episode 191. Catch y'all later.